The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality towards demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. Purport. The defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this very verse clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change, and being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avajananti mang mudha manushim tanumashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective, and thus they generally attain Shajujya Mukti. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat-eaters and blood-suckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes or laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam phalam toyam jome bhakta prajachati tadaham bhakti uparhitam ashnami prajatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of the devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful and is bhakta vatsal, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. The quality should not be misjudged. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhakta vatsal. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word Maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualification, but signs of his natural affection. As for Rudhira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there is no question of blood. But the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is as red as blood. When the demons achieve Shajujya Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Shajujya Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord garland, Prasad. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I be peaceful. So, there are some people, those who are naturally averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are known as demons. And the people, those who are naturally inclined towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are known as devotees. Actually, there are only three kinds of people: devotees, demons, and innocents. There are some people, those who do not know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's why they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That category, or that kind of people, is known as the innocent or balish. Ishare tadodhineshu balisheshu visatsucha premo maitri kripa upekha ja karuti samadham. So it has been described that there are three kinds of people: innocent, devotees, and demons. So it is not that some people are demons because they look in certain way or so and so forth, but actually it is not according to their appearance, external appearance, that one becomes a demon, but according to one's internal tendency towards the Supreme Personality of God. If somebody is naturally averse, naturally hateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are the demons. We have seen in the Vedas there are descriptions of people, those who are born in a Brahmin family, those who are performing all kinds of Vedic rituals, but they were actually considered to be demons. They were actually demons. Like Ravan, he was born as a son of a Brahmin. And Ravan was an expert, he was an exponent of the Vedic rituals. He was the most expert performer of yajna or sacrifices. At that time, Ravan was the most expert performer of Vedic sacrifices. But still, we find Ravan to be a demon. Here also we are seeing Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. They are also born of a great Brahmin sage. But in spite of being born in a Brahmin family, and in spite of being educated with the Vedic scriptures, still they have been considered to be the demons. Why? Because their mentality was very offensive towards the Lord. And through this verse we can see Like Hiranyakashipu became so angry because Vishnu killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. He decided to kill Vishnu. He thought that Vishnu was an ordinary person or is an ordinary person. And like any other ordinary living beings, Vishnu also can be killed. Vishnu's head also can be severed from his trunk. So that is the unfortunate condition of the demon. They cannot understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Spiritual Personality. He is the cause of all causes, and He is the shelter of everything and the source of everything. Not knowing that, they think that Vishnu is an ordinary person. And not only that Vishnu is an ordinary person, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an ordinary person, but they think that they can take up the supreme position themselves. They perform all kinds of austerities and penances in order to become powerful and become the supreme controller. So that is the unfortunate position of the demons. And in present world also there are many demons, but they are minute demons. In Kali Yuga, people lose their potency. People become very weak. In Satya Yuga, everybody was very powerful. So when somebody became demoniac, then he also became a very powerful demon. Like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavakra. So they were demons, and they were very powerful demons. It's not that at the present time there is no demon. At the present moment also there are many, many demons. Actually the number of the demons have increased, but their potency has decreased. The number has increased, but their potency has decreased. And we can see how when people become very offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in spite of becoming aware of His position, when they become offensive to the Lord, then we have to understand that this is a demoniac person. But fortunately, he is not a very powerful person, that's why his demoniac tendencies are not very, very much manifest. If they had, then they would have done everything. And we can see that so many people are trying to stop this Krishna consciousness movement. And anybody who tries to stop this movement is actually a demon. But unfortunately, for the demons, they can never stop this movement. Actually, this movement is the representative of Krishna. This movement is non-different from Krishna. And the way one acts towards the movement is the indication whether he is a demon or innocent or a devotee. In this age, Krishna has appeared in the form of His holy name. Kolikale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna appears in the form of His holy name. And this holy name of Krishna is being spread through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. At least, this is the major flow of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the main branch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement in this age. So if someone becomes averse to this movement, if someone becomes offensive to this movement, he is actually displaying his demoniac tendency. On the other hand, if someone is favorably disposed to this movement, he is actually a devotee. So whoever is favorably disposed to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a devotee. And those who do not really know what this movement is and what is the goal of this movement, they are innocent, and our business is to go to them, preach to them, and make them favorable towards this movement. Like yesterday somebody was telling me, Shrutidhar Prabhu, that there was this wedding here in the temple, and many Western people came as a guest to this wedding, and they all became very favorable to our society immediately after they came in contact with our society. The moment they were favorably disposed to our society, they immediately became favorable. Although initially they had all kinds of wrong notions about ISKCON. They had all kinds of misconception about ISKCON previously. But yesterday when they came here, saw our temple, spoke to our devotees, they immediately became favorable. So this is an indication, this is a sign of innocent people. Like they do not know Krishna, they do not know Krishna's movement, Sankirtan movement. That's why they are either nonchalant about the movement or offensive to the movement. But the moment they are favorably disposed to the movement, the moment they get to know about the movement by coming in contact with the devotees or coming to the temple, then immediately they become favorable. And I have seen many, many people, those who fall in this category. So actually most of the people are innocent. And that's why Prabhupada put so much emphasis on preaching. Because we have to educate these innocent people, because otherwise they will not be able to come to Krishna consciousness. So it is our duty to go out to them and preach to them by giving books or even personally cultivating them, and then immediately they become favorable. But at the same time, there are some people, those who do not become favorable, but instead they become even more offensive. And it has been instructed that a preacher should avoid those people. When somebody becomes offensive to Krishna consciousness or Krishna or Krishna's devotees, then immediately we should avoid them. Upekha. We must avoid them. But to the innocent, Balishesu Kripa, we have to show our mercy to the innocent people. In the beginning they may not be very receptive, but if their attitude is positive or at least neutral, then we must go to them and preach to them and try to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam time and time again has pointed out these three classes of people: the demons, the devotees, and the innocent people. Not so much about the innocent, but mostly about the devotees and the demons, as if it has been painted in black and white. We are seeing the character very vividly. We are seeing the nature or the characteristics of the demon, and then side by side we are seeing the nature of the devotees. And immediately we see the contrast, through the contrast, the greatness or the glories of the devotees become very, very obvious. And who is a devotee? Devotee is the person who has spontaneous love for Krishna. A devotee is a person who is situated on the spiritual platform. Being situated in the spiritual platform means situated on his spiritual identity. We cannot remain in our bodily platform and become situated on the spiritual platform. We cannot remain attached to our body, but spiritually situated. That never works. If we are attached to our bodies, then we automatically be situated on the material platform. So, a devotee, in order to become a devotee, we have to become situated in our spiritual identity. That means we have to go penetrate through our gross body, we have to penetrate through our subtle body, and we have to be situated in our spiritual identity or spiritual body. So a devotee is a person who is situated in his spiritual identity, and when one becomes situated in his spiritual identity, then he spontaneously falls in love with Krishna. Devotion is not an artificial process. It's a very natural process. It's a very spontaneous urge of our hearts. Like everybody wants to love somebody. Everybody wants to love something. But actually we want to love Krishna. And that love becomes manifest only when we are situated in our spiritual identity. Sometimes we notice that when somebody is in his bodily platform, in his gross material identity, then he falls very intensely in love with some material object. A young man falls in love with a young girl, and so on and so forth. It's a spontaneous, it's a natural thing. But actually the love is a phenomena of the spirit. But since they are oblivious of their spiritual identity, since they are identifying themselves with the body, then they want to love through the body, through the gross material body, another gross material object. So that's why it has been pointed out time and time again that this is a perverted reflection. The love in the mundane platform is a perverted reflection of Krishna consciousness. Actual love is Krishna consciousness. Actual love is our love for Krishna. And that becomes manifest the way where a young man automatically, spontaneously becomes attracted to a beautiful young girl. The same way when we become situated in our spiritual identity, then spontaneously we'll feel that love for Krishna. But that will happen only when we are situated in our spiritual identity. Often people ask, I have been in a movement, I have been practicing devotional service for so many years, why didn't I develop this love for Krishna as yet, in spite of so many years of devotional service? The answer is very simple. The answer is that we are still in our bodily platform. We are still identifying ourselves with our gross material body, or at the most our subtle material body. We have not become situated in our spiritual identity, and that's why we could not develop our love for Krishna as yet. But the moment we become situated in our spiritual identity, immediately we will develop our love for Krishna. And in order to become situated in our spiritual identity, we practice devotional service. One does not become perfect as soon as he steps into Krishna consciousness. At first, he'll have to practice the process of devotional service. And by practicing this process of sadhana bhakti, one becomes gradually elevated to the spiritual platform. And when one becomes situated in a spiritual identity, then he immediately develops the love for Krishna or Krishna prema. And the process for this age is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and not only chanting but associating with the devotees, and in the association of devotees we hear and chant and positively exchange with each other Hare Krishna. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj is here. He is going to give a He is going to read from the Natakam, Prabhupada Bhakti Rasa, Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada.